We want to look at some information tonight as far as ethics in the Old Testament. We know what Job lived like, his life was like. We know the ethical standard that he tried to pursue from Job 31. But we find as we look at Scripture, there were some others who lived much, much differently. Some of the people who lived a much different life were people from the land of Israel. Let's pick up the references that we have down through Amos chapter 2 and verse 8. So I mentioned last night we'll need to get some helpers lined up fairly rapidly as we go through some of this material. First Kings chapter 12, verses 27 to 31. Who wants to be our First Kings chapter 12 reader? First Kings chapter 12, 27 to 31. That'll be Stan, thank you. Let's get somebody lined up for two passages from Jeremiah. That's going to be Jeremiah chapter 5 and Jeremiah chapter 6, 5-1, that'll be Carol, and also Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. And we'll want somebody to help out a little bit with Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12. Who wants it? Hosea 4:12, Don? And then we'll also ask you to read from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 18. And then we also want a reader for the book of Amos, Amos chapter 2. Ray, do you want to be a reader from Amos 2? Second chapter of Amos.
Amos chapter 2.
Amos chapter 2, thank you. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 12, starting with verse 27 and reading down through verse 31.
If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi.
Okay, as you look at what we have there, several items. He says, first of all, it's too much. When it comes to proper ethics today, do you think people would say, well, don't do that. It's just too much, too hard, too difficult. Everybody doesn't do that. Everybody goes this other way. Well, that kind of thing is often done, often said, and that's what you have back here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 12. You have false gods being introduced. You have wrong worship being introduced. You have idolatry that is being encouraged, and also there is a corruption of the priesthood. And these were supposedly God's people. When we think about wrong ethics, we can look to the people who are in the world and say their ethical standard of behavior is wrong. But sometimes you look at God's people and you find that it is as bad as what you find in the world, and sometimes even worse. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah and see what we've got in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Okay, God says, run through the streets, run to and fro, check every place out. If you're running through the streets, what would that suggest to you? Why would you run through the streets?
Searching.
All right, searching. And not only searching, what kind of search?
Frantic.
It is a frantic, it is a diligent search. And God said, now again, this is a reference to those who are supposed to be his people. God said, what kind of man are you searching for?
A just one.
You're looking for a just one. Or you might say you're looking for a man who's ethical. And yet God was not able to find one. Now, Jeremiah, of course, would have qualified, but God's making the point that righteousness in the nation was basically nil. And then let's go over to that next chapter, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15.
Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord.
Okay. What's the key point there? God said, my people can't even blush. Do you think that there are still some people today who have that problem? They can't blush?
Yes.
They'll do wrong? And you ask them about that, and maybe they just give you a blank stare. It doesn't compute that it's wrong. You tell them it's wrong. And it's just, well, that's the way everybody lives. That's the way everybody wants to live. Do you guys have the sheet? Okay. We're about halfway down. If you're looking for the material, it is a shame that you have societies like that, sometimes individuals like that in a relatively good society, but that is by no means a new problem. Anything that you want to add or ask before we look at the book of Hosea? Okay, let's see what we've got from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12.
My people ask counsel, and their stocks and their staff declare unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God.
It might seem foreign to us for somebody to go to a fortune teller. I mentioned about a year ago that we were down in the area of New Orleans with our kids and had a chance to watch some of the fortune tellers, and people were willing to pay sizable sums of money. I mean, not thousands of dollars, but I mean, they were willing to fork over, you know, at least several 20s. I'm imagining, you know, at least $100, maybe a couple $100, because I assume that the fortune teller, quote unquote, told them what they wanted to hear. But in this case, God's people are not going to fortune tellers. Who are God's people going and trying to get information from? Well, and not only idols, but just a stick. Can you imagine going up to a stock of wood? God, or O predictor, O wise one, tell me the future. Can you imagine that? A staff? I mean, to us, that seems incomprehensible. But that's what God's people were doing. But once you begin to mess up your ethics, if they're not consistent with what you find in Scripture, people can head in all kinds of directions. We talked about that some with the videos, and in this case, that's where God's people went. Let's take a look at that same chapter, moving down to verse 18. And this is kind of a shocking verse, but when you look at today's society, you think, well, maybe not.
Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye.
All right, some of the Old Testament verses, at least in translations like the ASV and King James, can be a little more difficult to understand. Commentaries sometimes help. Other translations sometimes help. The wine goes sour. Well, the idea there is that they're out of wine. They're out of booze. And once people run out of booze, they may want more. Or if they don't want more or they can't get more, oftentimes, what's the next best thing? You leave this and you run somewhere else. In this case, they drank all the booze that they had, and then they sought out prostitutes. Now, you think that's really bad. But when you look at our country, do you find that there are some people who do a similar thing? Not necessarily politicians. They sometimes will fall into that category. But they get liquored up, and then they want to go out and find somebody to sleep with. And that was happening among God's people. So if your ethics are not right, you're going to find that kind of thing. All right, Ray, we're over to you. Let's take a look at Amos 2. We'll start with verse 7.
They that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father go to the same maiden to profane my holy name.
Okay, first of all, he says they pant after the dust on the heads of the poor. That sounds like strange language to us, but I think if you think about it for a minute, you can get the general sense. What's he saying? The poor are obviously in view, and are the poor being treated in a good way or a bad way? Bad. If you're panning after the dust instead of helping them, what are you trying to do? If you're not helping somebody, but you're doing something to them, what must be the right answer? You're abusing them, you're somehow misusing them, you are oppressing them. And here are what God's people are described as doing. They were oppressing, they were victimizing the helpless and the meek. And then, as you look at the end of verse 7, something that would, I think, shock even some people in our country. You have the dad and the son doing what with the same female? They're both having intercourse with the same woman. And you think, wow, what kind of pagans were these? Well, they were not pagans. They were those who were supposed to be God's people. Once again, if your ethics get mixed up, you get off course when it comes to ethics, you're going to have some serious, serious issues. Let's read verse 8. Ray?
And they lay themselves down beside every altar upon clothes taken in pledge, and in the house of their God they drink wine of such as have been fined.
There are 2 points here, and you have to divide them up. Let's look at the first one in what I would call 8A. You have people at the altar. Well, if you're at the altar, what kind of activity would that be?
Worship.
All right, it's worship. So here you are, you're in the house of your God. And what are they lounging around in? Clothes that have been taken for pledge. Who's going to give up their clothing for a pledge?
Desperate people.
I mean, that's what you're going to sleep in. That's what you're going to keep warm in. That's what you need as far as that basic garment. So if you're having to hawk that for a day, you're very poor. If you have somebody who is there at the altar in the temple and they're lounging around in the clothing taken from the poor, what's that suggest about the individual? Pretty low. Scumbag comes to my mind. I mean, this individual is about as low as you can find. And again, these are supposed to be God's people. But if you get that ethic mixed up, we're not to the New Testament yet, but remember Jesus talked about treating people as you want to be treated, the golden rule. That's not what you find in Amos chapter 2 and verse 8. And then you have, Ray, let's read that verse again. We want to pay attention now to 8b.
And they lay themselves down beside every altar upon clothes taken in a pledge. And in the house of their God, they drink the wine of such as have been fined.
Okay. People were fined. You know, just like you'd be caught speeding and you're fined. Well, there were fines back in the ancient world. And those fines, the money from the fines, were being used to purchase what? Wine, liquor, booze. And that wine, that liquor, that booze was being ingested where? In the house of God.
Was the wine the payment? Were they fined in wine?
No.
Okay, they bought.
I don't know what the fines were, but they were unjust. Yes, they unjustly fined people, and then from those unjust fines, they bought wine, and then they took that wine into the house of God, and there they had their drunken parties. Now, if that were being done today, there'd probably be a big investigation once somebody uncovered that. I mean, that would be on all the major news channels. This is what the politicians are doing with, you know, our money. But this wasn't the state. These were God's people. Perhaps the religious rulers. Once again, if you get off course in a nation or a community, bad things are going to happen. And that's what you see. I just gave you a small sampling of what you find in the Old Testament as far as God's people and messed up ethics. But when we look at our country and we find ethical choices being made without any consideration of God and His Word, it just gets skewed and further and further and further and further messed up. And you can have people say, well, we're going to clean it up. Well, that's all good and well. But what's your standard going to be to clean it up? If you have, Teresa and I were coming to services on Sunday, and we saw a couple of ducks trying to clean themselves up. There was a big mud puddle with all the rain. And we kind of laughed, you know, here they are. They've got this nice mud puddle. There was a big pothole that hadn't been filled by the state yet, and they're out there splashing around in the filthy water. Now, to them, it probably didn't, you know, make any sense or that it was dirty. They didn't care. But still, for a person, for a human being, to see that, we understand the oddity of that, using dirty water to bathe. And you have that same principle here. Anything that you want to add or ask before we kind of switch gears a bit, Tim? Yeah.
And if a lot of people that drink and then do stupid things, blame it on the booze, but they knew how they were going to act before they got stupid with stuff. And I have experience with this in my own family. And it's amazing. It's just mind-boggling how their mind can justify things they do. Mm-hmm. But when the scriptures say that wine is a mocker, it's not just some kind of catchphrase, or it's serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as serious as it can be. The book is trying to tell you to leave this stuff alone because you're going to do stupid things, dangerous things, mm-hmm. hurt yourself, hurt somebody else, you know, and nobody, well, I won't say nobody, but so many people that drink that stuff just don't pay attention to the warnings. No matter who tells them, friends, relatives, the Bible, it just blows your mind how they can just go around that and keep heading for the cliff, you know.
Yeah. Ethics matter. Ethics will bless your life, at least in general, or ethics will be like a chain that creates some serious problems for you. And as you rightly said. Liquor is going to be one of the things that you factor into ethics, and it has hurt and destroyed a lot of people. Anybody else? Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. We've talked about the Hebrews. Now let's talk about some non-Hebrews. When we think about those who are in the land of Canaan, some of the Ites, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and so forth, you have a lot of information about them in Scripture, and some of that information is related to ethics. When you go back and you study the pagan god Baal, he certainly was not the only one, but you do have a lot of information in the Old Testament about this god. You begin to find some things that are really disgusting. For example, the god Baal was an incestuous god, that he was having sexual relations. Again, he's a fake god, but according to the thinking that he was having sexual relations with family members, quote unquote. And that may have had some impact on Lot's daughters. We don't know exactly why Lot's daughters decided to sleep with Dad, and they both got pregnant from the nights that they had with Dad. But they were in this kind of culture, and it's possible, if not probable, that because of what Baal and those pagan deities were said to be involved with, that's where Lot's daughters picked up that idea. When you look at Baal worship, you find some other things. Child sacrifice was part of Baal worship. They thought that sacrificing their children would be one way to be blessed. You find that there were some other things: prostitution, homosexuality, bestiality. All those items were part of Baal culture. Then let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 to 12, and then we'll also have you read from Deuteronomy chapter 20, 16 to 18 a little bit later. Deuteronomy 18, who wants to head over there and be ready to read that in just a bit? All right, Tim, and then we'll get somebody lined up for some information from Exodus 23 and also Exodus chapter 34. Who wants to be that helper? Carol? Okay. When you look at the sins, I mean, you just have a number of passages in the Old Testament which talk about the Ite culture, and that helps explain why God said to his people, don't be involved with them. They have had their time to clean things up. They haven't done it. They're going to be kicked out of the land. And part of what you find as far as the bad things that they were doing is found in that first text, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 12.
There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee.
Have you ever had a situation where perhaps as you were raising your child, you didn't want them to learn something? Maybe it was a certain word, maybe it was a certain practice, maybe it was a certain activity. You did not want your child to learn that. Most of us have gone through that experience. God said to his people, I don't want you to learn the stuff that these people are doing. It's really bad. It's going to be offensive to me. And you can imagine, child sacrifice. God said, I don't want you to learn about that. He didn't want them to learn about things in the area of witchcraft. Astrology is also in that kind of list. God said, I want you to stay completely away from that stuff. Well, when you have people involved with bad things in the area of ethics, oftentimes are they on the inviting side, welcoming side, or are they on the we don't want you with this side? Doing bad stuff. They say, come join us. No, no. We're having our own fun. Stay away. Come join us. Now, that may not be true in every set of circumstances, but more often than not, they will say, come on in. We've got room for you. Pull up a chair, have a drink or whatever. We've got room for you, and we're more than willing to have you come and participate. Let's see if we don't find that in Exodus chapter 23, verses 32 to 33. All right, and let's have you flip over to Exodus chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. God said back there in Exodus chapter 23, verses 32 and 33, it would be possible for you to make what kind of agreement with them? To make a covenant. Well, that's going to require two willing parties. So they were willing to do that. 34, 15 and 16, Carol.
Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone invite you to eat of his sacrifice.
All right. He uses the word invite. And not only that, but hey, we've got a son, we've got a daughter, unmarried, and what are we inviting you to do? Come on into the family. And God said, don't do that. Then back in Deuteronomy chapter 20, let's see what we've got in verses 16 to 18. Tim, we're going to flip that back to you. Deuteronomy chapter 20, 16 to 18.
But of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt say, lieth nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perserites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God.
Think about those final few words. That they do what? That they don't
teach you.
Would they have been willing to teach the Israelites all their bad practices? Yes. God says, I know. He says to his people, I know that you'd be willing to learn. I know that you'd be willing to do that stuff. And I'm telling you, that is a very bad move. Ethics are important. Job got that lesson. God's people didn't get that lesson, at least a lot of the time. The various ites certainly didn't get that lesson. They, as we mentioned, had access to that knowledge, at least in some form. They chose not to take it and obey it. And you find as you look at these ites, God gave them literally hundreds of years to change, but they refused. Now somebody says, well, why is all this such a big deal? Job, he was this good guy. God's people had some problems. The non-Hebrews, they had some problems. Here's the answer, the final four or five lines in the sheet. Along with all the bad choices of right and wrong in the Old Testament, we have a God who is what? God says, I am holy. God said, I have a certain ethic. And this ethic needs to be adhered to. It needs to be followed by the people who want to be my people. God made it clear on a number of occasions that there was a standard, and not seeking to follow that standard would be a huge, huge issue. Let's go back and see what we've got in the book of Exodus. First reference is going to come from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. We want to pay special attention to what we've got as far as the end of the verse. All right. That fifth verse says, and he said, draw not, this is of course Moses, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what kind of ground? God says it is holy ground. Now, is Moses a bad guy? Every indication is that Moses was a pretty good guy. But God is warning Moses, look, you need to be very, very careful when it comes to dealing with me because I am a holy being. If we flip over to that next passage, this is going to come from the same book, Exodus chapter 19. Let's see what we've got in verse 6. Just before we get over to the Ten Commandments. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. And what kind of nation? A holy nation. So Moses is told when he has that interaction with God, you're on holy ground. Now God's people, some years later, are told that they're going to be a holy nation. Skipping over to the book of Leviticus. Let's see what we've got in Leviticus chapter 11. We'll look at verses 44 and 45. 44 says, for I am Jehovah your God, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy. Why? God says, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. For I am Jehovah that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye therefore shall be holy, for I am holy. Twice, back to back. Verse 44, God says, I'm holy. Verse 45 says, I'm holy as well. And God says to his people, you need to be holy as well if you want to be in a right relationship with me. In Psalm 93 and verse 5, God's holiness is associated with the word house. You have, and this is a fairly well-known passage in the book of Psalms, and this is going to about bring us to a close as far as our study of Old Testament holiness, and then we want to look at some information from the New Testament. But let's see what we've got over in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? And who shall stand in his holy palace or place? The answer is given in verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood, and hath not sworn deceitfully. You have a complimentary reference there, and that's going to be Psalm 15. One simple, this is the last line, one simple but one very powerful proof that ethics are important to God is found in the Ten Commandments. You cannot read through